Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Good evening. I'm storyteller Otis Gyre, and I ain't your grandfather. From where I'm from, we don't do bedtime stories. And if that's what you were expecting, you're in the wrong place. If it's terrifying tales you're after, well then, I've got just the thing. Get comfortable. Settle in. Turn off the lights, if you dare. Your night is about to get a whole lot darker. Who needs sleep anyway?
Good evening. You're listening to Scary Stories Told in the Dark. Welcome to Season 9, Episode 13. I'm your host, Otis Gyre, and in this episode, I'll be performing four tales to terrify you, courtesy of author Kyle Harrison, about curious classifieds, terrifying tomes, beastly bequests, and astral abominations. You're listening to the standard edition of tonight's program, which contains the first two spine-tingling stories. If you'd like to show your support and enjoy an extended version of this and other episodes with twice the terror, visit simplyscarypodcast.com and click Patrons in the upper menu to sign up today. Thank you for your support. Now, it's time to take a walk together down the moonlit trail. So lock your doors, turn your lights down low, and settle in. The show is about to begin. Need a job? Sure, we all do, and sometimes there are some real gems in the classifieds. Some offer excitement, adventure, riches, though the job itself can be murder. In our first Kyle Harrison tale, we see that there are some jobs that are more trouble than they're worth. But somebody's got to do them. Without further ado, I present to you Housekeeper to Hell. The following personal ad was discovered among a myriad of others on a dark web forum. It was connected to a local string of murders by the Rochester Coast Police Department. It's being made public at the request of the Chief of Police. Any information pertaining to this case is greatly appreciated. I'm seeking a full-time housekeeper to stay overnight every weekday and lock me in the basement. No experience required. My name is Matthew Conard, and I've lived in the town of Rochester, New York for a lot longer than most. Perhaps even longer than the town itself. That's thanks in part to my strict diet and exercise, but most of all, I owe it to my former housekeeper, Bernard. Very few people understand me the way Bernie did, and I'm afraid now that he's gone, I'm at odds with what to do. This has been very difficult to come to terms with, especially the manner of his passing. So even discussing the subject brings back old wounds. Seeking the sort of companionship and mutual trust that we had is something that doesn't come naturally to me. When they were alive, my family was always the sort to maintain a strict balance of power over the people that we employ, and I've worked hard to break that trend. They treated the staff like they were servants, often belittling them and sending them to other parts of the house when guests were present. Better to be seen and not heard. They are worse than roaches, my father said. He never once considered that the staff was the reason we managed to keep our secrets safe for so long. Without going into too much detail, it was for those very reasons that my father lost his life. Back to the topic at hand, though. I can't honestly expect a newcomer to understand me the way, well, the same way that Bernie did. That way that we got along over the years. As soon as a new hire arrives at my mansion, I can't help but feel uneasy. There will be a list of guidelines that I expect them to obey, and questioning them isn't exactly something I would recommend. In order to fully understand fully the criteria for this job, I think it would make sense to go over these now. I've never been one to skirt around the issues that my family faces, so let's cut to the chase and admit that I have problems. First and foremost is the fact that at 7 o'clock sharp, they are to escort me to the basement and promptly lock me in that room until morning. There can be no room for error in this. I'll reiterate this time and time again, because it's this rule that is above all others and cannot be willfully ignored. I know that in the past, before Bernie, I've had housekeepers consider waiting until 7:30, or even barely 13 minutes past 7. It doesn't really matter. There was even a moment when Bernard had gotten a call around 7:03, and he came into my study to find that it had already happened. The poor man experienced severe burns and lacerations. I literally had to beg him to stay. All of this because he failed to heed the simple instructions which I've provided. As you can see, a single minute, perhaps even down to the second, can be the difference between life or death. I've enough scars to prove that on my body. Bernard was actually one of the lucky ones. Well, until he wasn't. I'm sorry. The fact that I know I'm the cause of his demise sorrows me so, and it makes it difficult to focus, but I will try. The process with which you'll need to escort me is quite simple, but for the sake of clarity, I'll go ahead and explain the instructions step by step. Usually I have dinner around 5:30. This is the perfect time to obtain my medicine and place it in my food. I will, of course, try to persuade you to do otherwise, but you should insist and remind me that if things were different and Bernie were here, I would listen to him. It might be better if you fool me and pretend that you did not place any medicine in the meal to begin with, although, to be honest, I think my heightened sense of smell would recognize the falsehood. Remind me that I heeded the orders when Bernard gave me the pills. Of course, that isn't true. There were plenty of times that Bernard literally had to hold me down on the floor and press a knife directly against my neck to get me to take the pills. It was grueling to endure. Even then, there were times the medicine did not do the right thing, and I found myself having to pay him double for the nightly routine. I can't specify exactly why things go wrong at times. It's not something that I completely understood, to be honest. I suppose if I did, Bernard would be alive and I wouldn't need to fill out this personal ad. I wish nothing but safety and security upon anyone, especially if it is the kind soul like he was. Bernard was patient. Having been in the military for quite some time, he didn't hesitate to tell me that he had seen some things. But each time things went wrong, I could tell he was leaning closer toward not wanting to be in my employ any longer. It can push a man to the extreme, dealing with what I'm going through. To put it bluntly, I undergo what some might call a transformation. The old legends made it seem like this only happened during the full moon, but I can assure you it is a ritual I must undergo on a daily basis. It's painful, it's visceral, and it will likely result in broken bones and torn skin on a variety of occasions. I won't sugarcoat any of this. What happens to me will be frightening to you. You'll likely consider leaving after the first night, if you even last that long. Please note, I'm willing to pay extra if you have the resolve to stay. Once I've taken my medicine, you'll need to drop a warm bath and take the dogs for their walks. The dogs shouldn't be anywhere near the house at night. They aren't safe near me, and quite frankly, neither are you. I know I'm stressing this too often, but the transformation is something that will destroy everything and everyone in this town if I'm not locked away. Too many have died because of human error in the past, and I don't want it to happen again. Bernard made this mistake once as well, this time having to tend to his mother. It distracted him from his duties, and the dogs were left in the house one night. Now, he did manage to make sure that I could not leave the property. To this day, I marvel at his ingenuity for being able to blockade the mansion. The town was safe from my wrath that night. The dogs were not so lucky. I picked up their scent immediately when I changed. Despite the fact that he had followed other instructions to the letter, the overwhelming desire to rip them limb from limb could not be contained within me. I did everything in my power to kill them. They were strewn about in 50 different places, their organs scattered like confetti across the house. And if it hadn't been for Bernard, I suspect it would have been even greater for the town. The loss of life would have been tremendous. There was another occasion where he faced me during my transformation that I need to bring to mind because he found a way to wound me, and it may be essential for you to learn such a technique as well. The man recounted this event, how he had to raise a pistol toward me and fire several times at once while I was loose from the basement. It's not quite sure how I managed to break free. I often have checked my restraints, and there was nothing out of the ordinary regarding them. Bernard speculated that it might have been I was experiencing a similar event to an animal in heat and had even stronger abilities than normal. Perhaps that's also why the gun and the bullets made of silver worked. It's only speculation, of course. I must warn you that even though this did prove effective, my body can heal at an alarming rate. So it's possible that the bullets would have no effect. It'd be worth a try, but I can make no guarantees. With the bath out of the way, you'll need to obtain my wheelchair in the second foyer. I'll show you where it's at promptly whenever you arrive. It's old and worn out from timeless use, but it still does the trick. I've found it easier to be naked whenever preparing for the journey downstairs. I'm afraid this is where I cannot budge. I've soiled too many clothes and ripped apart too many suits to consider the need for such civilities any longer.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Completely naked and still wet from the bath, you'll need to strap me down to the wheelchair and then take me to my study. I love to try and look up at the stars shortly before going down below. Bernard was always kind to offer me a towel, but honestly, it just made me become more infuriated. Anything near to me could easily be torn apart, and ruining fine linen is a practice that I hate repeating. There may be a need for you to show extra restraint at this point, because you might find me in a fit of hysterics or foaming at the mouth as the hour approaches. In such instances, it's better to err on the side of caution and simply escort me to the basement early. I know you may ask yourself, why not simply go to the basement even earlier? But I'm afraid that's not how the process works. If I go too early, the change will not happen at all, and then it could trigger more quickly under the light of the moon. I'm afraid that I can't completely explain how all this works, even though I've lived with the curse all my life. All I can say for certain is moving too early will be catastrophic. Bernard made this mistake as well, presuming that something had changed about the routine when one night he saw me convulsing. It wasn't typical during my transformation, so he contacted the emergency services to seek aid. They did not ever leave the house that night. I killed them in only a few moments. The smell and taste of their blood satisfied me from roaming the entire countryside, but I know the experience traumatized Bernie. In fact, that was the first time Bernard insisted that he wanted to resign from his tenure. But I told him that he couldn't. Leaving me alone to my own devices would mean more people like those poor paramedics would find themselves with their skin turned inside out and their eyes gouged out. I used their pain and suffering as an example of what could happen on a much grander scale. I'm not in control of my body. I can't stop myself once the change occurs. Now, another aspect of this entire process is making sure you have the key for the basement itself. The key to the basement can be found quite readily in my safe in the study. I'll provide the combination to you once we've succeeded in performing this task, at least one night without any incidents. You'll need to barricade the door on that first night with as many pieces of furniture and items as you can find. The reason that I don't provide the combination should be obvious. As a man of great wealth, I do not wish anyone to rob me and take advantage of me trying to starve me inside the basement once the change is over. I remember that first night with Bernard very fondly. I was quite certain the ordeal would make him leave immediately. He didn't understand anything. Seeing my body bend over and take a new shape, my hair bristling the way a rabid dog does, my fingers stretched and formed paws. I know that I'm a monster, and I've often tried to kill myself, but the blood that runs in my veins simply won't die if I use traditional means. Bernard even tried different methods, and none proved effective. I remember telling him to be prepared to question God because I became a hell beast. That's the only way to properly explain this abomination that I transform into. In the following hours, where I'm in the basement, will likely be the toughest for you to endure. It's advisable to stay near the second floor and try to make as little noise as possible. If you remain quiet, it's likely the only harm will come to the furniture. Bernard had once decided to listen to music, another practice I recommend you avoid. That sort of thing only tends to cause it to become worse, and he wound up with two broken ribs and an artificial jaw. The man had more spirit than most and told me that he didn't want to leave as he was too fascinated with what he had seen to consider it. It was truly a curse against God, but he desired to know more. Over the years, I told him of how our family was originally from Eastern Europe and learned the forbidden magics of Romani gypsies. Tales that some considered myths were proven true as facts before his very eyes. He knew not to question my words based solely on the change alone. There will also be screams, by the way. There will be noises that you have never heard before in your life. I will beg you to let me out. It will happen on a regular basis. Even when I'm completely transformed, it would seem that I am able to mimic any human voice and sound perfectly normal. Do not listen. I will stress this again. Please ignore me. Bernard did not do this on the night that he died. The noises will grow louder. You might even be tempted to leave my property. That will be fatal to you as well, though. The dogs won't let anyone leave overnight, and they often will join me in the hunt. This is why I insist on everyone staying indoors. You can't let me out of the basement until the dawn has broken through the clouds. On the day he died, Bernard unlocked the door to see if somehow things had changed, and I was returned to my normal self before the waking hour. I remember seeing the terror fill his eyes as he realized this time he wouldn't be able to survive his failure. He was solely concerned for my well-being and had not waited long enough. I will admit that the man fought valiantly despite his age and even got in a few good jabs. Were it not for the strange blood that goes through my veins, I know that it would have caused lasting harm. I know that all of this likely sounds very unsettling and perhaps upsetting to anyone that reads it. Some may even venture that these are just the ramblings of an old man. I completely understand if you decide to reconsider the position that I'm offering, but the pay is considerable, contingent, of course, on your survival of the first night. I'll see to it that you live like a king. I think that's what made Bernard stay so long. I think he was both fascinated and in need of financial assistance. I offered him both, although this is quite useless now, since there isn't even his body to purchase a coffin for. The taste of his organs was quite intoxicating, I must admit. It has made me hunger for more. This is why filling the position is imperative. Bernard died on this previous Friday, meaning that there's little time left before the change occurs. I may be mistaken, but I believe the consumption of his body has also made it worse. Before this occurred, it had been quite some time since I'd had such a satisfying meal, and I think this will only intensify during the next cycle. I need someone soon, by the start of the week at the latest. If I'm left to my own devices, will be destructive, not only for me, but also for the entire population of Rochester. There are approximately 2,000 souls here that I could hunt and kill. I wish I had the willpower to actually lock myself away and throw away the key. Perhaps when you arrive, you can attempt to do that as well. Part of me is eager to see you try. If you can come immediately, I'll meet you at the train station, and we can discuss all the finer details of this arrangement. I'll offer you food, clothing, a roof over your head, and enough stories to last a lifetime. You can say that you met a living monster. Perhaps you'll know of a means to try and kill me. That would be of interest to me as well, since I feel I'm at the end of my rope. Before we return to the mansion, I have one final request. That we lay down some flowers at the grave I erected for Bernard. Truthfully, no man understood me as he did, and I hate that I destroyed his precious life. Please hurry. There isn't a moment to waste. I can already feel the change taking over. Yours truly, Matthew Kennard. Despite a thorough investigation of public records and police reports, no verification of any information provided in this post has been found to be factual, except, of course, the references to the murders within the area. Police speculate that the killer may be attempting to hide their true identity by using historical information and names of deceased. I hope you enjoyed Housekeeper to Hell by author Kyle Harrison, as performed by yours truly. If you enjoyed that first tale and would love to read more from tonight's very talented feature author, you can help support him by visiting simplyscarypodcast.com/Harrison. You'll be hard-pressed to find a less prolific author of the macabre with plenty of scares for you to enjoy. If you do decide to stop by the profile, please leave Kyle a kind word and let him know you heard about him here on this show and that Otis Gyrie sent you. It would mean a lot to me. And to Kyle, thanks for your support of this program and of tonight's featured author. As for that last story, well, I'm hoping somebody filled that ad. Be a real shame for the whole community to disappear overnight just because a good butler is hard to find. Maybe, though, if you're looking for work, maybe a library would be a more welcome line of work. Surely there's nothing that can go wrong watching over some old books during the night. Of course, there's no library that's quite like the one in the second story from Kyle Harrison. Without further ado, I present to you The Night Library. The downtown library was always a comfort to me as a young schoolboy. Often getting picked on by bullies, I'd hide away in the recesses of the stories I found there, imagining a lifetime of adventures I could never have. Perhaps my favorite collection of works was one that never left the building at all. It was a large leather-bound volume of children's tales that was in the antique section of the archives, a place where most kids weren't allowed to go. Mr. Newscomb, the head librarian, knew me well enough to let me back there because I never took anything without permission. Besides that, as I mentioned before, the book that I loved was actually chained down to one of the reading tables. Mr. Newscomb told me the reason for this was because the book was very old, dating back to the late 15th century and one of a kind, so I never really questioned it. All I cared about was sitting down and reading the stories and just getting lost in the pages as I went on, with adventures in my mind over and over again. Eventually, I got older, graduated, and found myself in need of a job. I figured there'd be no better place for me than interning at the library. I wanted to make books my life. They always kept me safe, and I felt at home when I was there, so it wasn't really a question of if I would do it, but when. Getting the position was easy. Mr. Newscomb was up in years now and needed the help and remembered me fondly. I was told my job would be easy. Simply restocking shelves and making sure no one made a mess. The library wasn't terribly huge, so I didn't think it would take much to do this. On that very first day, my thoughts drifted back to my childhood escape in the archives, and I found myself wandering over there, just to be lost in a little bit of nostalgia.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
As I touched the old copies of favorites on the shelves, my eyes wandered to the reading table, where I would often read that one special book, and felt a pain deep in my soul. The book was gone. All that was left was the rusted chain where it had once been held. At the end of my shift, I asked my new manager about it. His response was exactly what I expected. Someone had stolen the book a few years back. Then he told me that he thought it was better that way, that the book was gone. "How can you say that? I used to love those stories," I told him. "There was something strange about the old children's collection," he admitted. He didn't know exactly what, but he always felt that it was not meant to be read at all. The way he talked made it sound like the book was full of curses and magical spells, and it made me second-guess what I'd read all those years ago. "Still, it's a shame that it's gone. If only there'd been good security back then," I told him. The conversation actually reminded me of something important, and he asked me if I minded working as a guard for the library on a nightly basis instead of just being a stock clerk. The hours wouldn't be too great, but the pay would compensate for it. Plus, he knew that he could trust me with his merchandise. I told him I'd do it, even though I was exhausted from my first shift. I couldn't turn down the opportunity. Plus, it still made me so upset to imagine that my favorite childhood book was stolen. This gave me a chance to prevent other irreplaceable classics from being snatched as well, although I didn't expect there to be any break-ins anytime soon. So when he locked up the building, I grabbed my few stray magazines to keep myself awake and watched the television in his office as a distraction. Not long after he was gone, the automated lights shut off and the library was engulfed in darkness. I'm not sure why, but the feeling of being isolated in such a wide-open space made my skin tingle. It felt odd. Still, the library was quiet and peaceful, so much so that it was difficult to stay awake. After about 2 hours of forcing myself to try, I decided to get up and drink a little water. I figured running to the bathroom would help with the situation. About halfway there, I heard this strange low noise, the kind that you might hear when a house settles in the middle of the night. Except I had to remind myself this building wasn't made with the same materials as a regular house, so it shouldn't have made such strange sounds. Immediately, I got up and grabbed my smartphone to shine a light down one of the carpeted aisles. Nothing. It looked just as peaceful as it had before. At first, I tried to ignore it. I just went back to archiving the old books and trying to put them away. It was strange wandering the aisles in the dark and trying to find things. Everything that had once been familiar was strange to me. About every 10 minutes, this strange groaning would return and it would get louder. It was coming from the antique treasury. I thought about the collection that had been lost and immediately started heading that way. Maybe it was another thief coming to steal a valuable manuscript. I didn't have anything to defend myself with. I didn't know what to do, except that I had to protect these books. I cautiously stepped into the room, using my tiny phone to illuminate the old leather bounds, and paused as I saw the gleam of metal against the surface of one book. Getting closer, I recognized the rusted chains in the table as being the same from my childhood, except that now, suddenly, the book I cherished had returned. In fact, it looked like it had never left at all. How could that be? I knew I hadn't seen it earlier in the day. Had I been in the wrong room? I looked around again, second-guessing myself and feeling confused. Was it simply so late that my mind was playing tricks with me? For some reason, Mr. Newscomb's warning about the book popped into my mind as I touched its edges. Was it possible this book could be affecting my thinking? Impossible, I told myself, as I slowly opened the pages. I would simply need to review just one story inside, and it would show that this was nothing more than a children's classic. I flipped through the volume and chose a tale at random. The Midnight Shadow, one of my favorites. I remembered every detail as plainly as if time had never passed by. The story was short and simple, but also elegant and powerful. A young boy was running away from home trying to find a better life, only to be confronted by a dangerous creature that lurked in the darkness and discovered that life, the one he left behind, was more promising than he realized. For a young boy growing up dreaming of adventure, it was a solid life lesson to discover sometimes the grass wasn't always greener. Just as I finished the story, I heard this strange rattling in the lobby and turned about sharply, worried that my initial suspicion of a thief was correct. As I closed the book, I thought my eyes were playing tricks with me in the library aisles. The shadows looked like they were moving. Slowly, I stepped into the main auditorium, feeling suddenly uneasy in the same space that had once been my sanctuary. I felt I was being watched, studied, but I didn't know by what just yet. I moved toward the open children's theater, where readings often took place, telling myself it was just my lack of sleep and nerves. That story had always been so scary for me growing up, because in the end, the boy had to nearly die by the midnight shadow to learn his lesson. And now, as I stood in the center of the empty library, I was sure that same creature was watching me in the darkness. I could see its eyes roaming the empty spaces of the dark, taunting me as though it was about to strike. Was this a figment of my imagination, or had the story itself come to life? I soon found out the answer as it stepped into the dim light and took form. It was at least 12 feet tall, with gleaming claws and sprawling legs. It had a wide mouth like a hippo and made a sound like a screech owl. It was even more frightening than my imagination had ever made it, and it was real. It moved toward me the way that a predator haunted its prey, sliding in between aisles to confuse me as I stumbled toward the front desk. My mind was fumbling to recall in the story how the protagonist defeated this beast. It was a simple solution, but at the moment, being confronted by this thing, my mind was blank. I pushed furniture aside and toppled over stacks of books to try and slow it down, but the shadow just kept coming undeterred. The only thing it cared to do was swallow me whole. I don't want to die. I have too many adventures I still want to go on. I thought to myself as I made it to the front desk and hid under the counter. The massive creature swirled about like a storm cloud, bellowing and reverberating the air to try to draw me out with incessant and confusing noise. I blocked it out and thought of the story. The main protagonist ran until it was daytime, the creature drowning in the daylight. Then I remembered that the library had a basement generator. I waited for a few moments until the living shadow changed its tactics and began to actively search for me again. Then, when I knew the coast was clear, I made a run for it. The basement was not far from where I was hiding, just a small set of stairs that led into an alcove directly below. I was fortunate that Mr. Newscombe hadn't locked it. Once, in the darkness below, I fumbled about on the wall to find the generator switch, even as I heard the shadow getting closer. As a living darkness, it could twist its forms to fit any place, and easily sniffed me out below. Its gleaming eyes filled with anger as I hurried to find the switch. Its eyes opened, and I saw millions of stars twinkling. Then, at the last second, I found the generator and activated it. Light flooded the basement and the rest of the library. Immediately, the shadow dissolved, shrieking into the empty air as it was destroyed, and I caught my breath. For a few moments, I wondered if what I had experienced was even real. Then I heard a voice from above. "Mr. Newscombe?" You're already here? I asked in surprise as I came upstairs and saw the mess of the library. The shadow had made sure to make my job look like I was slacking off, especially because the night was apparently already over. My entire shift had passed by in mere moments. I'd experienced the story becoming reality, and it altered everything as a result. Of course, the owner was curious about my explanation for the mess, and I wasn't sure if he'd even believe the tale, so before I responded, I went to the archives to check to see if the Chen book was there. Once again, it had vanished from sight. It was then that I worked up the courage to explain the strange things that occurred while he was gone. Mr. Newscombe didn't interrupt as I explained how the story had come to life and tried to harm me. In fact, when I finished, he admitted that he wasn't surprised to hear this would happen. He reiterated what he had warned me about, the book, before, and then admitted something that struck me as odd. Besides me, as a child, no other customers would ever bother the chained book. It was as though the mysterious fairy tales were calling out to me, tempting me to read more. As long as I told their stories, they could continue to exist, Mr. Newscombe told me. I didn't understand what he meant, but the following night I would learn. I thought about his words all day until it was time to clock in, wondering if the book would reappear in the darkness. I waited patiently, perhaps anxiously, to see if it was true. Then I heard the strange noises, and the hair on the back of my neck stood up. The book had returned. I hurried to the archives and decided to see if another story would come true. I had to know if this book was taking a part of my soul. The story I chose was called The Stone-Eyed Serpent, a terrifying tale about a monstrous serpent that would make anything it bit turn to stone. There was no way this could become reality, I told myself. I was convincing myself that these stories were just figments of my imagination. That's all it was. Then I heard a rustling in the library, as though something ancient had suddenly been awakened. I closed up the book hurriedly and went to look. Was it really the giant snake come to attack? I didn't see anything in the shadows, and for a moment I was sure that it was all in my head. Then I heard its vicious hiss as it filled the air. The creature was here. I stood still, watching as it slinked out of the shadows and towered over me. It looked like it could crush the entire building. Its gleaming eyes told me that it was there to kill me, nothing more, nothing less. I had to run. But where could I go? My feet took me to the other side of the library as fast as possible, but the serpent was faster. It whipped through the aisles and began to coil around me, its fangs showing me that they were dripping with the magical poison. I thought back to the story, knowing that if I had to offer it something to defeat it. But what did I have? I only had my body. I stuck my hand out, trying to shield my face as it sprung forward, and latched onto my fist. Clamped its jaws closed, and I screamed out, kicking and screaming as the venom went straight into me. Before I knew what was really happening, my hand was back, and I saw that it was turning to stone. The snake seemed to be laughing at me as it slithered back to the shadows, its job done, giving me a reminder of what this powerful book could do. I watched in horror as my hand turned to stone, and I frantically wondered if it would spread to the rest of my body. I had to act quickly. Moving toward the front of the library, I got my cell phone ready and called 911 as I prepared to slam the front door and take my hand off. It was the only chance I had at survival. I closed my eyes, said a prayer, and screamed as it shut, and my body was severed from the poisoned hand. I blacked out shortly after that. When I woke up, the hospital told me that I was lucky to be alive and that I would be under psych evaluation for 72 hours because the injury was considered self-harm. Mr. Newscombe came to visit me, though, and to my surprise, he brought a gift. It was the chained book. I actually recoiled in terror when I saw it. Get that thing away from me, It needs to be burned, destroyed somehow. It's a curse, I screamed as he shut the door and we were alone. He smiled and placed the book down, shaking his head and telling me that he'd tried to warn me. Then he explained how he knew of the book's power. It had been his curse, too. Many years ago, he had come to the library and been fascinated by the ancient collection. Not realizing, the more he read, the more he was bound to the library and forced to keep the stories alive. He wondered if the curse would ever end, and then I came along, a young lad that had a curious mind like his. And now the curse could be passed on and he would be free. As he finished telling me all this, I saw his body deteriorate and fade away. It was becoming ash or dust. A collection of stories now suddenly turned to nothing, forgotten and abandoned just like his cursed tome. And now I'm the one that must tell these stories. Despite everything that I knew was real, I did try to escape and never return to the library, but the book controlled me in ways I couldn't expect. I'm now part of this library, just like the previous owner was, just like the others that come after me will become. We'll tell these stories and make them reality, making nightmares survive for another generation. The only hope I cling to is when I see eager, curious people come into the library and they read. Perhaps, eventually, the book will reappear and take one of them hostage next. Maybe it will be you. Maybe then you can be part of the story, too. I hope you enjoyed The Night Library by author Kyle Harrison, as performed by yours truly. If you enjoyed the tales you've heard tonight, I'd like to remind you one last time that tonight's featured author can be found by visiting our website. Just visit simplyscarypodcast.com/Harrison. Looking for the terrifying, the unusual, the weird, or simply just more reasons to be up at night? Kyle has something for your mind to snack on as it wonders what's moving in the shadows of your bedroom. Believe me. As a reminder, if you do decide to give any of this talented author's stories a read, please consider leaving him a quality review and a kind word, or a thoughtful public comment and an upvote, and be sure to let him know that you heard about him on this program and that Otis Gyrie sent you. It means more to me than you can imagine, and I'm sure Kyle would appreciate it very much as well. Thanks again for your support of this show and of tonight's featured author. Now, before we go, I'd also like to take a moment to thank you personally for joining me for this episode of Scary Stories Told in the Dark. If you enjoyed what you've heard on today's program, please take a moment to stop by our iTunes page or wherever else you listen to your favorite podcasts and leave us a 5-star review and a kind word. It makes a huge difference, and it would mean a lot to us. If you'd like to hear a premium extended edition of tonight's and all of our other episodes, featuring twice the terror, visit simplyscarypodcast.com today and click the patrons link in the menu at the top of the screen. You'll find yourself at chillingtalesfordarknights.com, where you can purchase season passes for this podcast and our other quality storytelling programs, or become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to our entire audio archive dating back to 2012, all of it ad-free. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all of our latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with us each and every week. You can subscribe to me on YouTube as well at the Otis Gyrie channel, where you'll find releases of my series Horror Storytime dating back to 2014. And you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram too. Just search for Otis Gyrie. Until next week, stay spooky and Get some sleep if you can.
Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Scary Stories Told in the Dark, a production of Chilling Entertainment and the creative team at Chilling Tales for Dark Nights, and a proud member of the Simply Scary Podcasts Network. Visit simplyscarypodcast.com today to learn more about our network and our other amazing storytelling programs. Tonight's program was hosted, and its featured stories, performed by yours truly, Otis Gyrie. Selected stories have been adapted with the kind permission of their respective authors. Original music provided by Luke Hodgkinson and Jesse Cornett. Sound design and final mixing and mastering provided by executive producer and director Craig Groshek. Program's artwork and logo by David Romero. If you're looking for some fresh tales on a daily basis while waiting for the next podcast, check out my YouTube channel, the Otis Gyrie channel, and my extensive collection of narrated tales there. Simply search on YouTube by my name and you'll find me. And don't forget to subscribe and press the bell notification icon to get my latest releases. Got a scary tale of your own that you'd like performed? I take submissions. Email it to me today at otis@simplyscarypodcast.com to have your terrifying tome considered for production in a future episode of this show. That's otis@simplyscarypodcast.com. If you've enjoyed what you heard on tonight's program and are joining us on your favorite podcast app, subscribe to us to be sure you never miss an episode and leave a 5-star review and a comment. Your feedback means a lot to me. You can also follow Chilling Tales for Dark Nights and yours truly on Facebook to connect anytime and get the latest updates on this and other programs and my channel. If you're listening on the Chilling Tales for Dark Nights YouTube channel, do us a favor and hit the subscribe button and the bell notification icon for CTFDN as well to get more spooky tales from me and the crew and another episode of this program each and every Wednesday. And don't forget to hit that thumbs up button to tell us how we're doing and leave a kind word or a request. And don't forget to visit us at chillingtalesfordarknights.com and consider supporting the team by becoming a patron. In addition to helping us out, you'll get exclusive access to our audio archive and ad-free downloads of all your favorite stories, including those you've heard on this program. As for me, I'll be back next Wednesday with more terrifying tales to keep you up all night. But that's all right. Who needs sleep anyway?
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.